Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Conversation around healthcare off the top in this half hour. And isn't it interesting as we look at what's happening with dental health in this country, right? The federal government, and in partnership, I guess, with the NDP, and now taking the approach that, look, dental care is healthcare. It should be considered healthcare. In fact, oftentimes when dental issues don't get dealt with, they end up in what we would otherwise consider the healthcare system anyway. So the government's arguing that we got to address this. We got to make sure that there's dental coverage for every Canadian. But we're not talking about universal dental care. So if you've got private insurance to cover your dental care, that's okay. Insurance through your employer, insurance you've got on your own, that's fine. And so you can still see your dentist. It'll still be covered by private insurance. Now, for those who would be eligible for some coverage, now you can go see those same dentists, and dentists can bill the public plan now as well. So we've got the first steps of this. So dental coverage for seniors, eventually that will be for children. So it's going to roll out in some phases. There's also going to be co-payments to help cover the cost of treatment. So isn't it interesting that we say this is how healthcare can be done, a way of ensuring that people are covered and they don't fall through the cracks? But when you think about how healthcare has typically worked in this country, I mean, all of this is basically illegal. The idea of having private insurance and co-payments, governments have fought tooth and nail against having that in healthcare. So if it's okay now for dental care, why isn't it okay for other forms of healthcare? So the government's creating this paradox that they sort of back themselves into. It's certainly something our next guest has noticed, wrote an interesting piece about. You can find in the Ottawa Citizen at FraserInstitute.org. Steve Gloverman, a senior fellow and Addington Chair in Measurement at the Fraser Institute, on the line with us here this morning. Stephen, good to have you with us. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
So, like I say, it's an interesting contrast, isn't it, that everything we so firmly rejected in healthcare, the government now believes is a fair and just way of providing dental care.
Yes, it is. It's anomalous, and that was really part of my motivation in writing that op-ed piece, is to highlight just how contradictory the dental care plan is, given, as you described, all of those features which under the Canada Health Act are not allowed for basic health care.
So, yeah, explain how this is going to work, this federal dental plan. So it's a small step that's been unveiled so far. So providing coverage for seniors, that'll expand to cover all seniors and then children. So what does that coverage entail?
Well, given the plan as it exists, it's going to cover about 25% of the population. And of course, the NDP wants to make this a universal plan, i.e. cover everyone, and that may well happen. And I would point out that that's yet another distinction between the dental care plan and the Medicare plans of the provinces, which are universal coverage. The cap, the income cap, which at this point in time distinguishes who's going to be covered, who's eligible for the government plan and who isn't, is probably going to at least be raised over time. And as I say, one can imagine that at some point in the future it will be a universal plan.
Well, yeah, I wonder if that's where it's going, because I do wonder in the meantime, like, this isn't meant to cover everybody. I don't know. Is it even meant to cover everybody who doesn't have coverage? Like, it will, I guess, kind of depend on income, won't it?
Well, it is income. It's income capped. It's, at the moment, $80,000 as a family income. If you have private insurance, presumably if you fell under the income cap, unlikely, but if you did, you could opt for the dental care plan, the government dental care plan. How many people would do that? Unclear. I don't know that there's a lot of people who would fall into that set. But of course, if it became a universal plan where there was no income threshold, well, then one can imagine a lot of people might, employers in particular, would encourage their employees to go on the government plan and say, okay, if you allow us to drop your dental coverage, we'll give you a little more of a higher salary.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering then. I mean, if there is that backstop, then isn't an incentive for employers to stop offering that?
Well, it is an incentive, but of course they need to keep their employees engaged and not leaving the job. So it'd be a quid pro quo. It would be something in return, higher salary, more vacation time, what have you.
But it is interesting, getting back to kind of the point of the piece you wrote, in, you know, the sense that you can have, public health coverage and still have room for private insurance, or co-payments. In fact, there's a lot of other countries that have universal health care. They do have co-payments, so they don't, you know, ban private insurance. So, I mean, isn't the government kind of acknowledging that, you know, this as a concept can work?
Well, certainly it requires some type of response on the part of the government because, yes, exactly, one can say, well, if it's good for dental care, why isn't it good for other forms of health care covered under the Canada Health Act? Is dental care in some sense less valuable? Is it less important? The reality is that the government is reluctant to take on a full-fledged, universal, single-payer, no-copay program in dental area. It's going to be a lot more expensive than they're projecting it to be under the current format. But yes, as you say, almost every other country, developed country in the world with universal healthcare coverage has those features. It allows private insurance in one form or another, and it has co-payments with safety features so that people who are low income or have chronic health conditions are not going to be unduly burdened by co-payments.
And it's interesting too, because, you know, we're told that if we allow more private care, a private aspect in healthcare, we're going to lose doctors, or doctors won't be there for the public system. I wonder how that argument applies here, because no one's arguing that dentists aren't going to see these patients, or that we don't have dentists. Dentists are going to see all patients, those with private insurance then and those with some government coverage, right?
Yes, and of course you've hit it right on the head. If you boil down the objections to allowing medical doctors to practice both in the private and public sector, they'll be bid away from the public sector into the private sector and starve the public sector of resources. And in fact, as I say, in most countries they do allow doctors to operate in both the private and the public sector. In fact, if anything, it reduces the wait times in the public sector. You get more resources, and I'm talking about capital resources, MRI machines, et cetera, once you free at least part of the system from bureaucratic constraints that are creating wait time shortages and shortages of diagnostic equipment, laboratory tests, et cetera. So yes, you're right that where the dual practice systems exist, we don't see major shortages in the public part of the system.
Very interesting. Well, we'll see where this all goes. Your piece is mentioned. It was in the Ottawa Citizen, but it's also up at FraserInstitute.org. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us here today. Appreciate it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.